Designing intro effects from train recordings in drum and bass, in Ableton Live, intermediate level. All right, let's get into one of the most fun, most free inspiration sound design moves in DNB. Turning a single train recording into an entire intro effects toolkit. Trains are basically already designed drum and bass textures. You've got sub rumbles, metallic screeches, pressure blasts, Doppler motion, and those rhythmic track clacks that practically want to be a loop. The goal today is simple. From one recording, we're going to build a sub-rumble riser, a metallic screech tension layer, a reversed air downlifter, a big impact, and a rhythmic clack loop. Then we'll group it, print it, and you'll have something you can drag into future projects like your own custom effects pack. Before we touch devices, set your project to around 174 BPM, or whatever your tune is. Make one audio track called Train RAW, and drop your train recording onto it. Now, here's the first teacher move that saves you later. Don't try to design from the full recording. Find the best moments and consolidate them into named clips. So you might have one clip called Rumble, one called Screech, one PASB, one Door Hiss, one Clack Loop. In Ableton, select the region you like and consolidate with Command or Control J. This isn't just organization, it's commitment. It makes you faster and your resamples cleaner. Quick extra coach note. If your recording is stereo and it feels kind of facey or weird, check it early. Put a utility on and pull width down while monitoring in mono. Decide, do you want wide ambience or focused center? Especially in drum and bass, random stereo low end is a classic. Why does my intro collapse in mono problem? Okay, step 1. Clean and isolate the useful bits on Train RAW. This is not mixing, this is prep. First device, EQ8. High pass around 25 to 35 Hz, steep slope, just to clear nonsense and keep headroom. Then, Train Screech tends to be brutal in that 2.5 to 5K area, sometimes higher too. So do a gentle dip, like -3 to -6 dB, and if it's still taking your head off, we'll do surgical notches later. If the low mids are too boomy, try a small low shelf cut around 150. Next, add a gate, especially if you want to isolate clacks or squeals. Start threshold around -30 dB, and set the return around 150 to 250 milliseconds, so it closes smoothly. Floor can be fully off if you want tight, or around -20 if you want a little ambience left. Then add utility just for gain staging. Trim so your peaks are living around -12 to -6 dB. Give yourself room. These are FX layers, and they stack up quickly. One more prep tip. Don't rely on gate to fix everything. If there are obvious bumps or clicks, use warp markers in clip view and nudge timing slightly to remove the ugly moment. It makes your later stretching sound more intentional. Now we build the first tool, the sub-rumble riser. This is that incoming train pressure that sells the drop before the drums even arrive. Duplicate your rumble clip to a new track called FX Rumble Riser. Set warp mode to Complex Pro, because we're going to stretch it and we want the texture to hold up. Stretch this clip to 8 bars, or even 16 if you want a slow burn intro. Now the chain. EQ8 first. Low pass it around 120 to 180 Hz with a steep slope, because we're designing pressure, not full range noise. If it needs more body, a gentle boost around 50 to 70 Hz can work, but be careful. You want controlled weight, not mud. Then a saturator. Drive somewhere between 2 and 6 dB. Soft clip on. You're not trying to distort it into a bass line. You're just adding harmonics so it reads on smaller speakers. Then auto filter, low pass 24 dB. This is where the riser movement comes from. Automate the cutoff, so it starts low, like 80 to 120 Hz, then opens toward maybe 250 up to 500 by the time you're near the drop. Add a little resonance, like 10 to 20%, so the movement feels focused. Then compressor to control the peaks. Ratio about 3 to 1, attack 20 to 40 milliseconds, release 120 to 250. Aim for just a couple dB of gain reduction when it swells. Now, arrangement coaching. Don't draw your automation as a straight line. Riser energy feels more natural when it's slow at first, then it accelerates. In Ableton, add a couple extra breakpoints and curve it so it ramps gently, then rushes near the end. That tiny change makes it sound like it's actually approaching. Cool! Step 3. Metallic screech tension. Find a break squeal or metal on metal moment, and put it on a new track called FX Screech. Warp can be tones or Complex Pro depending on the source. Then try clip transpose. Plus 12 semitones gives an alarm vibe. Plus 7 can feel like a warning siren. Minus 5 is darker and heavier. Don't overthink it. Pick the one that matches your track's mood. Chain time. EQ8. high pass around 200 to 400 Hz, because you don't need low end in a screech layer. Then do notch surgery. Tweak between 4 and 9K with a narrow band and cut the painful whistle. Sometimes it's minus 4, sometimes it's minus 10. Trust your ears and protect your listeners. Then redux for grit. Bitch reduction around 6 to 10. Downsample maybe 1.5 to 4K, but go easy. This can turn into total sandpaper. A nice move is to automate the downsample amount so it gets nastier as you approach the drop. Next, resonators. This is the secret sauce for turning noise into musical tension. Turn on 1 to 3 resonators and tune them to your key. If your tune is in F minor, you can try F, C, and AB. Keep dry / wet modest, like 15 to 35%. You want tune texture, not obvious synth chord. Then auto pan for movement. Set it slow, half a bar or a full bar rate, amount 25 to 60%, phase 180 so it feels wide. Then reverb, bigger size, longer decay, but with smart filtering. Low cut around 400 to 700, high cut around 6 to 9K so the reverb doesn't add harsh fizz. Dry / wet maybe 10 to 25. Now a super important drop trick. Right before the drop, kill the reverb. Either automate the reverb dry / wet down, or better, use a return track for reverb. Make a return called RVB World, send multiple effects layers into it, then automate that one return down in the last beat. That creates contrast. And contrast is what makes the drop feel big. Step 4. The air or pressure downlifter. The whoosh out. Train doors, air brakes, station hiss perfect. New track. FX downlift. Take a hissy portion. Reverse the clip in clip view. Then stretch it to 1 or 2 bars. Chain. Auto filter first. Automate cutoff so it starts open and ends darker, like 8 to 12K down to 1 to 3K. A little resonance is fine, 5 to 15%. Then reverb. Decay 4 to 10 seconds. Dry / wet 20 to 40. And here's a cool trick. Automate a momentary freeze on the reverb for that sucked into a tunnel vibe. Then utility. Automate gain downward into the drop. Even just going from 0 down to minus 6 or minus 12 right at the end makes room for the impact and the first kick and snare. Placement. Usually last bar before the drop, layered with an impact. Think of it as your reset button. Step 5. The impact. This is your drop marker. Look for coupling clunks, track hits, door slams, or a close pass-by peak. Put it on FX impact. You want a short transient, like 50 to 300 milliseconds. Consolidate it so it's a clean one-shot. Chain. Drum bus first. Dry 5 to 15. Crunch 0 to 20 depending on how gritty you want it. Boom 20 to 40. With boom frequency around 45 to 60 Hz. That's a sweet spot in DNB for feels huge without becoming a sub note that conflicts with your bass line. Damp around 30 to 50 so it stays controlled. Then saturator with 2 to 5 dB drive, soft clip on. Then EQ 8. High pass 25 to 35 Hz. If it's boxy, cut a bit around 200 to 400. If it needs definition, a small boost around 2 to 4K can add click, but keep it tasteful. Then limiter just catching peaks. Don't flatten it. An impact needs dynamics to feel like an impact. Pro layering note. If you want it bigger without mud, pair it with a simple synthesized sub drop, like a sine and operator, and keep everything else high passed in that last moment so the impact owns the low end. Step 6. The rhythmic clack loop. Find a section where the track rhythm goes clack 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 in a steady pattern. New track. Effects clack loop. Set warp mode to beats. Preserve at 1/16. Transients at 100. Find a 1-bar loop. Set your braces. Consolidate. Chain. EQ 8 high pass 150 to 300. Because again, we don't want low-end clutter. If it needs presence, a small boost around 1 to 3K helps it read as percussion. For transient shaping, use drum bus. Transients plus 10 to plus 30. Drive very light, like 0 to 5. Add delay with echo or simple delay. Set time to 1/8 or 1/16. Feedback 10 to 25%, and filter the delay so it stays mid-high. You want rhythm and space, not a muddy wash. Then auto-pan subtle movement. Rate 1/4, amount 10 to 25. Arrangement tip. Start this loop filtered, then slowly open it over the first 8 bars, like you're revealing the groove before the real drums appear. Now, a bigger concept that makes all of this feel pro. Think in layers by roll, not by cool processing. Your train audio should split into 3 jobs. 1. Energy. Sub and low mid pressure. 2. Edge. Mid and high metallic detail. 3. Space. Air and tails. If you keep those roles separated across tracks, your intro will turn into one massive full-spectrum blob fighting your pads and vocals. Okay, step 7. Group, resample, and print. This is where you level up. Select all your FX tracks and group them. Name the group Train Intro FX. Then create a new audio track called FX Print. Set audio from to the Train Intro FX group, or just resample. Record 16 bars of your intro build. And here's the producer brain move. Print multiple passes. Do one clean version with less distortion and reverb, then a hyped version with more drive and width, then a washed version with longer tails and maybe more delay feedback. When you're arranging later, you'll have choices without reopening sound design decisions. While we're here, quick common mistakes to avoid. 1. Too much low end in stereo. Use utility bass mono around 120 Hz on your rumble and impact layers if needed. 2. Oververbing everything. The drop needs contrast. Pull a reverb away right before the drums hit. 3. Ignoring harsh resonances. Train metal can be vicious between 3 and 8K. Do not be afraid to notch. 4. No automation. Intros live and die by movement. Filter cutoff. Reverb sends. Saturation. Volume ramps. Even width changes. That's the story. And 5. FX fighting your musical elements. If you've got pads or vocals, carve space. You don't need the Train FX to occupy every band at once. Now, a few advanced spice options if you want to go darker or more cinematic. You can do a fake Doppler effect without any plugins. Duplicate a pass-by clip twice. On layer A, automate clip transpose slightly up then down, like plus or minus 2 to 5 semitones. On layer B, automate a high shelf boost that peaks mid-clip like it's passing the listener. Pan one slightly left, the other slightly right. It sells motion fast. For a really aggressive railgun screech, put resonators before distortion. Resonators at maybe 20 to 35%, then saturator with heavy drive like 6 to 12 dB, then EQ notch surgery after. That gives the screech a tonal core that survives the distortion. And if you want that tunnel swallow moment right before the drop, group a layer and map a macro that increases reverb, darkens it, turns down gain, and closes a filter all at once. Automate it up in the last bar. It's like the world gets pulled away, then the drop slams in. Mini practice assignment to lock this in. Grab one 30-second train recording. Extract 3 clips. Rumble, squeal, hiss. Build an 8-bar rumble riser, a 1-bar reverse hiss downlifter, and a 1-shot impact. Arrange it like this. Bars 1 to 8, rumble plus a light clack loop. Bars 9 to 15, add screech tension and open filters. This audio version is shortened for playback.